have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, the 31st chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We're getting one chapter closer to finishing this book. And we have three chapters to go, 32, 33, 34. And we will have ended a long journey, as we have also been reminded of things to remember as we have been looking at the nation of Israel, as they're preparing to enjoy their promised land. And those principles and those truths have been so important as we enjoy our promised land, the Spirit-filled life. And I don't know about you, but I would not want to live any other life than the Spirit-filled life. And what a joy it is to know that life, to know the Spirit of God, and to be able to live in the light of His glorious presence. Chapter number 31 is an important chapter. It's a chapter that carries with it its own sensitivity. I think when you understand the motivation and you understand where Moses is in his own mind and in his own thoughts and his own understanding, you can appreciate the words that he is given to the nation. And so I've entitled our lesson tonight, this simple title, When God Promises. When God Promises. And then you could put dot, 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 what he expects of me. When God promises, dot, 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 what he expects of me. Chapter 31, Moses is acknowledging something that no one likes to acknowledge. Verse number 2, you will find that Moses is acknowledging that he's getting old. Nobody likes to acknowledge that, do we? Some of you need to acknowledge it pretty quickly. Verse number 2, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Could have been his birthday. I can no more go out and come in. A lot of you are thinking, I feel your pain. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now you remember, Moses was told by God that he was not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. He's not being allowed to go into the promised land for his sin against God when he struck that rock the second time instead of speaking to that rock. We know that the rock is a picture of the Lord Jesus, the great rock, and that was a transgression against God. And so God said to Moses, because of that, you will not be able to go in to the promised land. Now we know that later in the Bible, he does on that Mount of Transfiguration, he's able to put his feet on there. We know that God does allow him to see the land, but he was told he would not be able to enjoy the crossing over or the inheritance of what they were about to receive. Now Moses is understanding in his own body that he is aging. He also understands that God is moving and preparing, and he knows that something's got to give, because the closer they get to the crossing of the promised land, he knows he can't go and God's not going to leave him behind. And just in case Moses didn't figure it out, would you look over, if you would please, at verse number 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Now there's a word from God that ought to encourage your soul, right? So God himself has let Moses know that the days are approaching. Your days are being numbered. You're not going to be able to go, cross over into the promised land. And therefore, your life is about to be over as it is known upon the earth. And so Moses is coming to grips with his mortality. He's coming to grips with the fact that he will not live forever. And I can imagine as humanity, as we come to grips with that, what must be going on into our minds and how that would play. And so knowing where Moses is in his own understanding and knowing what God has told him, what he pens after that carries, I believe, a little extra something special. I mean, basically, he's on his deathbed. By the way, don't think that that phrase in verse number 2 where he says, I can no more go out and come in, means that somehow he's feeble. I want you to hold your hand here and come over to chapter 34 and let me read to you verse number 7. The Bible says, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What does that mean? That means there was no signs of age in Moses. He still had his faculties, he still had his sight, and he still had his strength. What he was acknowledging was that he was finishing what God had called him to do. And by the way, I want to finish what God has called me to do, and I hope and pray that you know what God has called you to do, and that you also have a desire to finish that. Moses, knowing where he is in his own mind, has got to communicate this to the nation. Go, if you would, to verse number 7 of chapter number 31. And you will find that Moses is getting ready to communicate something equally as scary as his passing, and that would be the transition of leadership. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. We'll come back to this. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit the land, or inherit it. So Moses, recognizing that his time is short, recognizing that his life is coming to an end, recognizing now that there's a transitional season, he knows who the leader is to be. So he brings Joshua in front of the people and acknowledges him as going to be the leader that's going to follow him. Scary times for the nation. Transitional times. By the way, transitional times in our lives are always scary times. Whether you transition into a new job, out of an old job, transition into a new relationship, whether you transition into a new city, you transition to whatever, transitions are never easy. That's why you always want to transition in the will of God. And so the transition that's coming is in the will of God, and God is providing a leader. So Moses knows he's dying. He knows that there's going to be a transition of leader, and Moses loves the people, and he's burdened for the people. And so as he's giving his last words here, Moses wants the nation to remember. Remember, I titled this, Things to Remember. So let's look at Moses' heart here in verse number 3 of chapter 31. The Bible says, or Moses says, the Lord thy God, he will go before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee. Thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee. Would you read the rest of that verse with me out loud? As the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Zion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Here's what Moses wanted the nation to know. He's dying, transition is happening, and the number one thing he cares about is that they remember this thought, and I want you to remember it. Let it ring in your ears. God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. When God promises, you can count on it. Have you ever been disappointed by a man breaking his promise? No one can ever say that they have ever been disappointed about God breaking his promises. He will keep his promises. So important was this to Moses for the nation of Israel, because he wanted them to reckon this and remember this in his heart. And he wanted this truth to have powerful motivation for them to continue to do what God has opened up for them to do. He did not want them to quit. He did not want them to fall into unbelief. And so he's reminding them that everything God has promised you, God is going to perform. He's reminding them that even though it's going to seem impossible to you, God's promised it. Therefore, nothing is impossible to God. He's telling them, when your eyes say one thing, let my word say another. When your brain says you can't, I told you I could. Remember that I can. When you're scared out of your mind, remember that I don't break my promises. Pastor, I hear you say all the time about the promises of God and how important they are and that I should know them. I hear you say all the time that there's thousands of them in the Bible. But when I look at God's promise and I look at my situation, what does God expect me to do when he promises? What does God expect me to do when he promises? I was hoping that question would come up because he outlines it. He outlines it in verse 6 to the people as a whole. I want you to have your pen ready. He outlines it to Joshua himself in verses 7 to 8. And then he also outlines what must be understood by the future generations in verses 12 to 13. And so when God promises, this is what he expects of his child. This is what he expects of his people. Take your ink pen if you would. Look at verse number 6. What are the very first two words of verse number 6? Be strong. Underline it. Circle it. Come if you would to verse number 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. What's he say? Be strong. Underline it. Circle it. Come down if you would please to, I believe it's verse number 23. The Bible says, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, what's he say? Be strong. Highlight it, underline, circle it. Three times in this chapter, God tells the people and he tells Joshua to be strong. Anytime God repeats something three times, my friend, it's vastly important. Pastor, when God promises, what does he expect of me? Verse number 6. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he do what? That's what God expects of you. That is exactly what God expects of his people when God makes a promise. When God makes a promise to us, and God's word unfolds a promise of direction, or a promise of support, or a promise of hope, or a promise of fulfillment, or some kind of promise based on our obedience, some kind of promise based on our disobedience. This is what God wants you to do with his promise. He doesn't necessarily want you to figure it out. Good luck with that. He doesn't necessarily want you to try to make it happen. He's able to make it happen. He wants you to process some things. First thing he wants you to do is he wants you to process by faith what he has done. Be strong. He's not talking about being strong physically. He's not talking about being strong and of your own ability. He wants you to be strong in your faith. By the way, faith was the way that the promises of God would be unfold in the life of the nation when they were in the promised land. For example, let me give you a test here. How in the world did the walls of Jericho, who knocked the walls of Jericho down? God did. What did God require of the nation to knock those walls down? And don't say nothing. And don't say walking. Faith. Walk around that city one time a day on the seventh day. Walk around it seven times and shout, and I'll knock the walls down. God, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I promise you, nothing stupid has ever come from our great God. When you take the nation of Israel, as soon as they crossed into the promised land, all of those promises would afford and unfold to them as they appropriated them by faith. Anytime they stepped outside of faith and tried to make those promises happen, they got themselves destroyed. For example, we don't need to really send that many men up to AI. We can handle AI. Problem was, they didn't understand what had been in the camp. They hadn't prayed about it. They weren't approaching AI by faith. They were approaching AI by some kind of foolish expectation. And when they got to AI, they got destroyed. Many of God's people, as we try to live the Christian life, and as we appropriate our way through the Spirit-filled life, anytime we step outside of operating by faith, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So be strong in your faith. By the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by word of God. I'll tell you what faith will always demand in your life. It's the next one. Courage. Courage. You cannot separate faith and courage. Faith will always demand courage. Pastor, I'm not a courageous person when it comes to spiritual things. That's evident that you're not a Bible person. Faith brings along courage. Courage and faith go hand in hand. The more that I'm in the Word and the more that faith builds in my heart, you will find that courage. A person who lacks spiritual courage is someone who lacks spiritual faith, who evidently is lacking the Word of God. Just because you read your Bible doesn't mean you read your Bible with faith. Doesn't mean that you're allowed to do the work in there. So when God makes a promise, and He made a promise to the nation, He expected them to be strong in faith and to let that faith build courage. What would that courage let them do? Watch the natural progression. Courage is the opposite here of bringing about fear. Fear not. You see, fear and faith are polar opposites. This is not speaking of a fear of the Lord here. Look at the fear He's talking about. Fear not, nor be afraid of who? Them. Them. There's three people in this conversation right now. Three groups of people. There's the people of God. There's God. And there's them. Don't lose me in this example. There's the people of God. There's God. And there's them. And I like it when God says it's you and me against them. I'm glad He's on my side. I'm glad I'm on His side. I like that. God says, now, when you get in there, don't be afraid of them. Yeah, I'm with Him. He's with me. I like that. Don't be afraid of them. Boy, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Watch this. For the Lord thy God. If He's your God tonight, say amen. I love that. He it is that doth go with thee. Oh my goodness, they were promised God's presence. And they were promised God's movement in their life. And so God had laid out a plan. God had laid out victory. God had laid out a direction there. God had made and committed Himself to them. He had made promises to them. And here's what the promise was. I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. When you go to the book of Hebrews, you ought to write Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, right beside that verse. Write yourself a note in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let that play as a cross reference for you. And while you're writing it, let me read what the Bible says. The Bible says, in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's saying that to you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, the promised land is the promised land. to the nation of Israel, the promised land, yeah, was a physical land. For us, the promised land is the spirit-filled life. But the truth of the promised lands are applicable to both of us. So if faith is how their victory was appropriated, then faith is the only way our victory is going to be appropriated. If that faith was to be strong and courageous, then our faith is to be strong and courageous. If he's their God, he's my God. Okay. See how this plays out? So if he says, listen, I promised them that I would be with them. I promised them that I would go with them. I promised them I would not fail. And I promised them I would not forsake them. Then he's promised me the same way. You know why he can't leave me? Because he lives inside of me. And he directs and he goes. And nothing can separate that. I just want you to understand tonight the same thing Moses wanted them to understand. It's us and him against them. I think that's pretty good. That's better than LeBron James. He gives the same promise to Joshua in verses 7 and 8. This was what he gave to the people. But in 7 to 8, I just want to kind of watch how this unfolds. Verse number 7, Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, again, be strong, of a good courage. For thou must go with this people. Moses, you must die. Joshua, you must go with the people. Unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. That word go before thee in verse number 8 is the word march. Soldier. Military. If you're taking notes. And the Lord, he it is that will march with you, okay? He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. When you dismantle that verse, listen to the words that will help you with the application here. This is basically what he's saying here. God will march with you. Let there be no cowardice. Many times in my life, I have been a coward spiritually. Pastor, you can succumb to cowardice-ism as well? Yeah, I can. I'm ashamed when I do it. Let there be no cowardice. When you unpack that word in there about in the thoughts of there from the Hebrew, you understand that no cowardice or flinching, no nervousness. Actually, we're getting there. Neither be broken in spirit. It carries with the idea of the absence of depression, not being dismayed or discouraged. And here's a word that was just fitting. Not being unnerved. Unnerved. My dad or my mom used to say it this way. You're on my last. Yeah. Now my wife's. Well, that's a private conversation. But you're on my last nerve. Israel. God marches with you. Let there be no cowardice. Let there be no flinching. Let there be no dismay in your spirit. Let there not be any unnerving in you. Why? Because he will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. You will not be dismayed. I got news for you. God loves you and God is able to take care of you. When God makes you a promise in the book, what he expects of you is faith, courage, recognition, truth, settledness. To the negative, what he does not want from you is cowardice, flinching, unnervedness, dismayed. Yeah, but Pastor, listen, it's one thing to read it in the Bible. It's another thing to know it in real life. Okay. So let's watch the nation of Israel. It's one thing for Moses to tell them this now, But pretty soon they're going to cross that river and there's going to be Jericho. By the way, we saw those walls of Jericho with our own eyes. And I'm sure they stood there and they thought, what do you mean walk around it? What do you mean walk around it seven times? There's no way these walls are going to fall down. The same battle they're having here intellectually is the same battle you and I have. We come to situations all the time and our intellectualism says there's no way. But I have a Bible that tells you nothing's impossible with our God. And the Christian that is able to navigate his way, you must understand, in the spirit-filled life, the promises of God in that victory are only appropriated as I believe God and I trust God. And if I'm gonna do that, I gotta have the Word of God to strengthen me and bring courage to me. And then I'm able to see things for what they are. Then I'm able to see how the enemy can intimidate me, and I can see how my own intellectualism can fall short, and I see how my own resources don't measure up. But at the end of the day, he's my God, and it's God against them. And I'm with him, and he's with me, and he'll never lose. Amen. But cowardicism, we're so cowardly. I'm convinced that most of the time our cowardice and our flinching is because we haven't appropriated biblically what God says in our lives. Let me give you one further point here. He also drives this home when it comes not only to be our responsibilities here, but he talks about the responsibility when it comes to the next generation. Look, if you would, verse number 11. He says, when all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Okay, so here's where we as adults need to get this message. How many have children in your home still? Can I see your hand? Okay. All right. Listen to me, or I'm going to keep you afterwards for detention. Moses is dying. He understands he has a second generation, but he understands he's got a third and a fourth generation. And Moses does not want to see the annihilation of those generations. Now, we know that they don't appropriate this. Well, Moses says, the promises of God are not just for you. They're for all the generations that come behind you. So Moses says, as you make your way and you see the promise that God has unfolded and that victory is there, you know that victory is appropriated by faith. So you have to know strength as faith builds, courage. You have to understand to be able to see some things. You have to understand who the enemy is, who's with you. You need to understand my nature as God, that I will not fail. I cannot fail. I never have failed, and I'm not going to fail, and I'm never going to forsake you. That's a pretty good promise from God, right? He says, now you need to teach this to your children. Look, if you would, at verse number 13. Help me, God, unpack this verse in a few minutes I have. That their children, which have not known, say those two words. Pastor, I knew it was biblical that my kid doesn't know a stinking thing. Okay? And their children that have not known anything. What's he talking about anything there? Somebody help me. He's talking about the past. He's talking about the miracles. He says, you have children that do not know who I am. They don't know what I have done for you in the past. They don't know anything about trust and belief and about me, just because they haven't been alive. Watch what he says here in verse 13. Those children which have not known anything may, what's this word? Hear. Here where? Here in their home. Mom and Dad, what are your children hearing about God in your home? What are they hearing about faith in your home? What are they hearing about miracle in your home? What are they hearing about what God has done? Now, understand, Moses is dying. He's got a generation here. He loves them. He wants to understand and see legacy here. He wants to see things passed down. He says, God's made us promises, man. And these promises are real. And he's got a wonderful life. Now, you got to appropriate by faith. But we got to teach those kids how to have faith. We got to teach it to pass down. Well, how are they going to do that? They're going to hear it in your home. So to those of us that have kids in our home, when you sit in your home and you say, well, there's no way God can do this, or you're bitter, that's all they're hearing. They're hearing God can't, but God said he can. So if you don't honor God, they're not learning how to do it. You're building by what you say out of your mouth and what you do with your hands. You're teaching your kids that either God is true or he's a liar, that he can be trusted or he can't be trusted. You're teaching them and they're hearing truth or not truth. Look what he says. Here's your responsibility. That their children, which have not known anything, may hear and may do what? Learn. How are they going to learn to fear the Lord your God? Because they're going to hear your fear for the Lord your God. And if you constantly are complaining or murmuring or gossiping or bitter or angry, and you're constantly saying, God can't do this, God won't do this, and you're constantly living in a position of failure and you never reckon the promises of God, you're teaching your kids a negative direction about God. You can't do that. You can't do that and expect verse number 13. Keep going. As long as you live in the land. You can't expect longevity there. So when God promises, what's he expect of me? He expects faith. He expects courage. He expects you to reverently fear him. He expects you to believe that he's God. He expects you to understand he won't fail. He expects you to believe that he will never forsake you. He expects you to appropriate that and move accordingly. And then he expects you to take your success in him and teach it to the kids, not teaching them a negative approach. It's interesting. Kids repeat what they learn here in the home. And they repeat it in the perfect tone. Am I the only parent that's ever stood by my kid, and my kid says something, and the tone they say it in, I'm like, I don't say it that way. You know, you're horrified. I'll never forget horrifying my mother. She was in my dad's mother's home, and they must have said something about my mother's mother as a joke. And my mom said to my dad about his dad, don't say that about my mother. I was just a little boy. And I said, why, Mom? You talk about Grandma Hunter all the time. I don't remember much after that. Okay. Moses is dying. And he wants the people to understand that God keeps his promises. Therefore, God is trustworthy. He wants them to understand what God expects. And really and truthfully, all God expects for them is faith, courage, some understanding, and some trust. And God will carry them through. Tonight, God has made you all kinds of promises. You have them in the book that you hold. They ought to be precious in your life. And when God has made you a promise about something, stay the course. Stay the course. Believe him. Pastor, it seems like he's forsaken me. No, there's something broke with your seamer because he promised he wouldn't forsake you. Pastor, it seems like it's just not working. No, God is always working. Pastor, it just seems like they're getting the victory. And God says, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are you afraid of them? You've got me. And he's great. Shall we pray?